Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Showstopper! I've only just started. It's On The Ledge podcast, the Chelsea Flower Show edition 2022. This week's show comes from the Chelsea Flower Show, where I talk to the makers of the six houseplant studios. And we hear from listener Baz. What a day I had at the Chelsea Flower Show on press day on Monday. It's been going for more than 100 years, and although it feels like I've been going for 100 years, I think I've actually been going to the show for about a dozen years now. And it's been delightful in the last few years, pandemic notwithstanding, to see houseplants finally getting some airtime. And the houseplant studios are probably the most concentrated area of houseplantiness at the show. That's where I hung out to interview their creators. What's the concept? Well, a company called Malvern Garden Buildings, who make wooden structures to put in your garden, have sponsored this area, this category, and each building offers the chance for someone to pack it full of plants, style it any way they want. Like most garden buildings, there are windows at the front and sometimes on the sides, but inside is quite a dark wooden cavern in a way. So lighting was all important. And in a way, many of the were the same challenges we face in our homes in terms of trying to make enough light for our plants to thrive. Obviously, this is a showcase, and so the creators of the houseplant studios could do things that you probably wouldn't want to do at home. Plants that would need different light levels could sit quite happily for a week and survive, and probably you couldn't do that in exactly the same way at home. But there was plenty of inspiration here for things that you could replicate at home. And as ever, I'd urge you to look at the show notes while you're listening for photos of each of the houseplant studios, which will enlighten you as you listen. And you can also check out my Instagram account, j.l.perrone. If you click on the Chelsea highlights, you'll see all my stories from the show to further enhance your Chelsea experience. Without any further ado, let's head to our first houseplant studio.
I'm Sarah Gerald Jones, and I'm at the Plant Clinic at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show.
Sarah, this is so exciting. This is a day I've long looked forward to, seeing your houseplant clinic. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
Guest of the show. We're sitting on these lovely wooden
reclaimed teak, aren't they beautiful?
So nice. Yeah. I mean, we're not here for the wood, but it's nice to have good furniture also.
And these can double up as pot stands.
Yes, I'm liking that, because there's nothing worse than a wobbly pot stand. Like, there's so many plant stands that are just really inadequately strong.
Absolutely.
We've all been there with things falling over. And behind us, we've got this beautiful plant wall. I'm loving the use of Chlorophyton commosum, the spider plant. It looks amazing in the wall,
doesn't it? Because you're used to probably seeing outdoor plants in a living wall, but not so much the indoor tropicals that we know so well. But yeah, they work great, don't they?
It really does look great. And
they're lit from above by grow lights.
It looks really
amazing.
Nice.
Soltech Solutions.
Yes. Show sponsor. it looks really, really good. And is this one of these bespoke systems for green
walls? Yes, it is. Yeah, so you fill it from the top and then basically the water drips down to all the components. So every single plant has got access to water.
It's
like
so
a wicking mat at the bottom of each.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they all look great, don't they? They've been in there for about a week and so far, so good.
And you're hoping that people are going to come here with plant problems for you to solve?
I hope so. I hope they're not the same ones over and over again. But yes, we're trying to educate people how to look after their houseplants better.
Well, and we can all say amen to that. Inside, you've got a lovely substrate bar. That's what I'm going to call it. I don't know what you're calling
it. It's a soil bar. And they're treatments for our plants. So this is how to better keep them alive. And we're talking about the substrate being very important. So we have tailor-made substrates depending on what type of plant you have. So we have an Alocasia mix and we have a Monstera mix. Because I think getting the substrate right, you're 50% of the way there to keep your plant alive.
Exactly. I think that's going to be a real shocker for some people who are not houseplant growers to see that and go, I have to repot it in different stuff.
Exactly. I can't just keep it in what the grower sent to me.
And the other thing I must remark on are these huge, huge Boston ferns outside. That must be enormously heavy. It's gone on a big hook.
Well, it rained the other day, so you can imagine how heavy it is now. So I'm hoping the hooks hold up.
Well, it's putting out loads of new fronds and it looks amazing.
It's fantastic, isn't it? It was sourced by Mark, who also designed this studio. He's Happy Houseplant, so he managed to get this direct from the grower. I think it was quite hard for him to find them, but they at this size.
Yeah, but that is enormous. I mean, it does demonstrate how big these guys can grow. You need space and you need height to make them really work. But they are absolutely beautiful.
They are the star of the show.
And behind you, you've got a lovely shelf of various terrariums. I know you love terrariums.
I absolutely love terrariums, but this is the master of terrariums. We've got Ben from Worcester Terrariums here. And he's also brought along his very famous terrarium, which has got 65 million views on TikTok.
Wow.
And it's
incredible.
Full of, I think you call it microflora, the mini beasts. So you must take a look at that.
Oh, I will take a look at that.
So basically, we're calling this the steam room. So plants that like higher humidity, we advise you put them in a terrarium or in a glass cabinet or something like that to keep the humidity raised. And that way you'll be able to keep these plants alive, like your classic Fritonia and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we've also got some rare things in here as well, and some beautiful mosses. So we're basically making a clinic for your plants, a spa clinic for your plants, and we've got all the treatments available that you would imagine in a spa.
I absolutely love that idea. That's so perfect. Well, thank you very much for sharing this with me, and good luck for the week. I hope you get lots of plant problems to solve.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you. Thank you.
Sarah Gerard-Jones there, the plant rescuer who's been on the show before. And she teamed up with Happy Houseplants on the plant clinic, and I'm delighted to say they won a gold medal for their work. And those ferns, well, I think they're actually, having looked at them more closely, what we call macho ferns, which, if you remember back to the Hilton Carter episode, those are the extra, extra huge ferns related to Boston ferns, but actually from the species Nephrolepis biserata. So do check those out in the photographs in the show notes. And now onwards to the next houseplant studio. We take a few steps under the large plane trees, alive with ring-necked parakeets. Yes, we have parakeets in London. To the next houseplant studio to meet Mo and Charlotte.
I'm Mo from the Botanical Archive.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Durant from the Aroid Attic.
This is pretty exciting to be here in your beautiful houseplant studio. What's the concept?
So the concept is social media versus reality. So our design is set in a houseplant collector / influencer's living room, and it's full of all sorts of different rare plants and more common plants, and it's got all like different propagations going on, terrariums, little greenhouse cabinet, orchids everywhere. Yeah, it's full.
It is full. I wish my front room looked like this. It's amazing. Mo, some of these plants are yours. You've brought your babies with you to
the show.
Tell me about this is the Instagram side here. Tell me about this side.
So we've got mostly aroids, I would say. if not only, are always, we've got a little begonia on the side there. So, yeah, a lot of these are my private collection. Mostly things I've grown from cutting, so thankfully managed to get them to grow quite big in order, just in time for Chelsea. Got some quite rare things here as well. So we've got Philodendron Spiritus Sancti. We've got a nice looking, quite a nice specimen of Anthurium crystallinum, and then some hybrids around the place.
Will you be guarding your Spiritus Sancti throughout the week?
I'll be checking bags for scissors at the door.
Oh gosh, I would think so too. This is important to get across, isn't it? This contrast between what we see on social media and the reality of keeping houseplants. So on this other side, we've got some repotting going on. I mean, it's kind of tidy repotting, but
it's Chelsea
repotting, exactly. But it's really good to reflect on this, because I think a lot of people who perhaps are getting into the hobby are looking at Instagram and feeling a bit disappointed with their own collection.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It can be quite overwhelming to see everybody's like perfect rare plants and think that you have to go to that sort of level to have a houseplant collection. But I think it's important to show off like the more common houseplants and just how beautiful they are and how they don't look out of place next to the rarer ones. They all go together really nicely and have an interest in all the different leaves.
Yeah, and you've got a lovely plain green Monstera Deliciosa, and you know, with all those lovely spaghetti soup of aerial roots going on, which is like that. If you grow that plant, you know.
Yeah. It's a proper piece of the jungle, isn't
it? Exactly. That's what happens, and you have to accept that you're going to have these aerial roots just climbing all over the place. I mean, mine went under my sofa and I just couldn't get them out for a while. So
best to embrace it.
It is best to embrace it. And other plants we've got on this side, we've got the wonderful Oxalis triangularis. I mean, you know, that's one of my absolute faves. Any particular faves on this side, Mo?
I think I'm really, really pleased with the planting up of the logs on the ceiling. So
with all the Phalaenopsis orchids, the moss orchids, they're quite easy to get hold of. But up there, they look so like special and they look rare. Yeah.
And what you've done is you've avoided that very strict look of them held to a cane, and instead you've got them as they would be in nature, growing epiphytically on this branch and trailing down, which makes the flowers look really different, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's what we intended with it, to kind of show off epiphytes as well.
Yeah, show off all the different shadows that they make. And they look beautiful.
Yeah, they really do. And as I say, the cane thing, I'm just like, get rid of the canes. And it's really nice to see how that can work. And now you've got it all set up. Are you hoping that it's going to have a good impact this week and you're going to get lots of people hopefully reassessing?
Hopefully. I think it would be nice for people to come in, take a seat, smell the Cambria orchids up in the ceiling as well, because they smell beautiful, and just feel like they could do this at home. It feels homely in here. It's not like a huge thing to start venturing into. Yeah.
And can I also salute you that you've got some houseplant books on display there, including my Bible, The Houseplant Expert, the exact edition that I had as a child, which I'm so happy to see there. And you've got some Aroid Society documentation and some...
There's some little Cactus World.
The old Cactus World. I was sorting out my Cactus World journals last night. Great to see that, because I think these days sometimes people don't realise what a good resource books and societies can be.
I think it's so easy to get lost on the internet googling things, isn't it? And having the books there to look through really helps.
Well, it's a lovely, lovely space, and you've got outside, you've got more plants, you've got a lovely, I'm slightly jealous of your Hoya Crinkle 8 because that's looking amazing, and I love these dish gardens too.
Yeah, we wanted to do outside a sort of like an ode to cacti and succulents, so they can go on like a balcony, they can go in a sunny spot, and they still look amazing. Like, you can have a little collection of those, not spending too much either, which is nice. They look fantastic.
What do you think is going to be the plant that people are going to be most drawn to? Is it one of these Anthuriums?
I think that Anthurium there, the velvet red.
Oh my gosh.
They look amazing. But I think they all just go together so nicely, don't they?
I think they're all
so different. It's hard to have a favourite.
I think the Monstera as well, because that immediately draws your eye when you walk into the building.
Yeah.
Is this the beginning of the revival of the plain green species?
Let's hope so. I think it's underrated.
I hope so, yeah.
I think people have almost kind of become a little bit obsessed with the variegated Deliciosa, and I think that the plain green one really has
with
more of an
huge
impact.
Leaves as well. I think there's a leaf over there, that one at the back. It's
gosh,
45 centimetres, 50 centimetres, it's massive.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we wanted to show in some respects. Kind of, it doesn't matter how rare or how kind of unusual the plant is, if it's grown well, it will make an impact.
Yeah.
And I think that Monstera really shows that.
That's a really, really good point. Well, it's great to see it all. And you've got also at the back, I've only just noticed that you've got
your cabinet,
and I'm sure you'll get a lot of people going, oh, I'd never thought of that, but that is great. And I mean, also, can I just say, I'm loving the prop boxes as well.
Yes.
That's a really good thing, because anyone who's into houseplants will go, oh yeah, I've got lots of those. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the mysterious misty box that's got God knows what inside it. It's just, that's a really nice touch. And I mean, I'm sure it will be very inspirational for lots of people to see. Good luck, guys.
I hope you
have a really great week, and thank you very much for sharing your houseplant studio with me.
Thank you for coming to visit.
I think we can all relate to that studio. I just love that prop box feature. It just felt so right. Let's move away from the houseplant studios for a little while, because I want to turn to talk about Chelsea Plant of the Year. Normally this goes to an outdoor bulb or a shrub, something like that. But this year it went to a succulent. So this was exciting for me. The winning plant defeated 19 other plants on the shortlist to gain first place. And the plant in question is an intergeneric hybrid. Yes, that's kind of exciting. It's a cross between an Ionium and a Sempervivum. So it has the name X Semponium. See what they did there. And the cultivar name is Destiny. And I'll put a picture of this in the show notes, but it's a big meaty beast of a succulent in that rosette form that we see in both Ioniums and Sempervivums. Unfortunately, I don't think it's as cold hardy as Sempervivums. I think you'd have to treat it more like a regular Ionium. But boy, does it have some pulling power. It's very beautiful, dark purple spoon-shaped leaves in a rosette. They're kind of almost, they're giving me dinosaur skin vibes. And this was bred by Surreal Succulents, which is a Cornwall-based succulent nursery set up in the last few years that's done tremendous work. And it was really exciting to see them win in this category. So do go and check that plant out in the show notes. And staying in the county of Cornwall, the next houseplant studio I visited was created by The Planted House in Penzance.
I'm Antonia, and I am the owner of The Planted House in Penzance in Cornwall.
Well, I'm sorry to say that I haven't yet been down to Cornwall to visit you, but I would love to. But for the moment, I can enjoy this beautiful houseplant studio. It feels very light and airy in here, which is a good thing, with all these beautiful hanging plants. What's the overarching concept?
Well, the intention really was to really create a display where plants are able to show off themselves in a space where they're not crowded. They're not, I guess, light, airy, delicate. I love hanging plants personally. We wanted to create space between plants so that they could be appreciated for themselves, but also to show how you can have a living space which isn't rammed with pots everywhere. We have at home in the shop, we're quite full and quite crowded. Having spoken to so many customers over the last couple of years, the feeling we get is that many people are trying to buy and buy and buy plants. They just want more and more and more plants. They just want to squeeze in another one. And we're now saying to people, pull back a bit, have less, and appreciate the ones you've got. Give them space to breathe.
I'm loving that message. I think I totally embrace that, and I think there will be lots of people who are receptive to hearing that. I'm loving the way that these plants are hanging. Tell me about what they're hanging in.
So they're hanging in handmade planters, which we sell in the shop. We came across a potter in North London 3 years ago who was actually making these pots, but in smooth clay with glazed rims. And so we had them in the shop. I then came across this amazing, chunky, gritty clay on a very short pottery course that I went on, and I tentatively approached her, would you mind possibly trying this clay, because this is like soil and we want to create that sort of ball of soil effect. And she was willing, and she discovered she really enjoyed working with it. So, and we then realised that these were selling more than the smoother ones. So for Chelsea, obviously, we commissioned her to do it all right. And it's going to become a massive part of our theme.
Yeah, I really love these, and the way that you've got the very understated black wire hanging from the pots are suspended on this black wire, which is it's really nice. It's really strong, but it just doesn't get in the way of the scene.
Well, that was the Newlyn Chandlery who helped us with that one. We went down looking for something super strong and super minimal to hang them with, because up to this point we've made black wire rope hangers with ferrules, which is a different approach in itself. These are just really minimal and delicate. So that they appear to float, and that was the idea. It's not about the hangers, really. It's about the pots and the plants.
And you've also got this amazing network of, I'm not sure what this is, some kind of natural material, wood, but it's bent in all kinds of stunning shapes.
It's rattan. It's harvested in Asia. It's a form of liana vine. It's in the jungles. Jungles are full of it. It uses other plants to support itself. It's used for making furniture and baskets. Rattan furniture goes very well with houseplants, as we know. So we've decided to use it as a plant support where it can be. I love its evenness. I love its flex. I love the way it can whirl around and have a sort of signature of its own, a life force of its own. We've sort of reversed its role, I guess, from what it does in the jungle.
I just love the way you've used this as a plant support, and also just as a way of joining together with, in a kind of subtle way, all of the different plants in here. And you've got lots of lovely plants in here. I mean, I'm immediately drawn to the Lepismium, which is one of my faves. Absolutely beautiful plant.
That's my favourite, the Cycas.
Yes, which one? Which species is that?
That's the Rotundifolia.
Is that Rotundifolia? Yeah, yes. That's a really underrated plant.
It is.
I wrote a column about it in the RHS magazine and then got told off because nobody could get hold of one. I don't know whether they're more available now, but that's a really
stunning. It's a bit more available. Yeah, I tracked one down about 3 years ago. I'd first seen it at Burford Garden Company in their cafe. It was completely taking over their seeding. I think they've taken it down now, but I actually got them to root around deep down in this vessel to find an old plant label. So I and then I actually found one with the House of Plants in Sussex. They sent me a tiny one in the post.
Okay. Oh, it's a beautiful plant.
Now they're more available.
And quite easy. I mean, that's a really...
You can actually ignore them. They're holding a lot of water in their leaves because they're semi-succulent. But they will just go for it. And they'll do growth spurts. So they'll do a sort of foot in a couple of weeks, and then they'll just stop and they'll just leave.
And then you've got a lovely Cerapegia linearis, which is so subtle. I just think that's adorable. In the middle of, coming down over the middle of this low table, you've got this tiny, tiny pot.
I love these. With I prefer the hearts.
Yes.
Easier.
Yeah. It is a beautiful leaf, and it looks really stunning there, especially because it just looks like it's suspended in space, which is wonderful. And what are you hoping that people will get out of visiting here? Hopefully that they'll think again about their collection.
I think the message for me is to stop gathering and hoarding and just trying to squeeze in another plant. I mean, the love of houseplants has exploded, and there's a lot of people just collecting as much as they can. But you can, in the end, you can stop seeing all the individual plants that you've got. And I speak from my own experience. I've got a house that looks like a hedge, and the shop can get very full, and it can be overwhelming for our customers sometimes. We have to pull back, and creating space in between is really important, I think.
Well, I think that's a wonderful message, and I really hope your week is successful and that lots of people come and visit. I'm also very envious of your extremely long hoyle in the Aris, which is spectacular. I mean, I thought mine was long, but that's like 2 metres long. That's absolutely stunning.
I think it's like hair.
It is. I mean, if you're feeling stressed, you can just literally gently rub your hand down the hoyle in the Aris and you feel better, don't you?
And I do love these hoyles. I love them.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started. The hoyles are great. Absolutely great.
You keep playing. I mean, I just couldn't stop fiddling in the Aris, so you have to learn when to stop.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's a really beautiful environment, and I love the space and the air that you've got in here. It feels really good. So thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't mention.
Oh, you didn't mention
made the furniture.
Oh, your husband made the furniture.
Well, we made some plant boxes for a client in Penzance. He was doing some outdoor landscaping for them, and he made them these Douglas fir plant boxes that go on a very high wall, and these are from the offcuts.
Oh, they're perfect.
Rather than being round, he realised he had just the right amount of wood to do that.
It's amazing.
It kind of worked out.
Well, it's beautiful. Well, I hope the rest of your week goes well. And
thank you.
You get to enjoy, I mean, so far so good on the weather. I thought it was going to be rained on, but...
not yet.
Not yet. It may be coming.
It's nice and humid, though, which is...
Yes, cool. That is true. Perfect for houseplants.
Of course, we ended up talking about the weather. We are British, after all. Now it's time for Meet the Listener.
Hi, Jane. This is Bas Vosik from the Netherlands.
When did you get into houseplants and why?
I got into houseplants around September of 2019 when I was researching how to repot a ZZ plant, which I had been growing. Well, basically, it was growing already at the student housing that I moved into back in 2006, and it moved out with me in 2010. And yes, so it has been growing in the nursery pot since then, and it was in dire need and basically breaking out of it already. However, plants have been part of me and my family, with my mum and my grandmother being the people with the greenest thumbs, I would say. And I'm actually very happy to be growing a division of an heirloom Sansevieria from my grandmother. And hopefully I will get my hands on a cutting of the begonia Corallina lucerna, an angel wing begonia, which my mum is growing, and it's already been propagated many times, and it's growing at my sister's house currently, as well as at many other people's houses. So I will say that even though my gateway into the plant business was around the September of 2019, they've been part of my life for a long time.
What's the latest addition to your houseplant collection?
The latest addition to my plant collection is a couple of very commercially rare Sansevieria, namely the Bentel Sensation and variegated whale fin. I am very stoked that I finally got my hands on both of these, and currently they are in need of a pot with new substrate because they're still sitting in the packaging that I am being a bit lazy to remove them from. But I'm sure they're fine.
Complete the sentence. I love my houseplants because...
I love houseplants because they really brighten up my space, and I really like to be immersed in green. I'm a biologist at heart, even though I work as a flight attendant, but it makes coming home such a pleasant... makes it so nice and really relaxing.
Who is your houseplant hero?
I want to say my houseplant hero is Summer Rain Oaks, because she made a video about repotting a giant ZZ plant, and this is the video I watched prior to getting stuck in myself. And she was basically my gateway person. Watching her videos just dropped me into a giant rabbit hole of plant videos and plant content on the internet, and I've been hooked ever since.
Name your plantagonist, the plant you simply cannot get along with.
As for my plantagonist, that is a difficult question. At the moment, I am really struggling with growing some heartleaf philodendron. There's two specimens in my home right now, and one of them is seemingly under constant attack of thrips. And did I mention I'm a lazy plant parent? So I haven't been very diligent at removing the thrips, and they just seem to keep attacking it, and I feel kind of at a loss. But, I roll with the punches, and I keep going. It seems that the plant is keeping going as well, so who knows what the outcome will be. Hopefully my home will not be swallowed by the thrips.
Thanks, Bas, and I hope that the thrips decide to decamp elsewhere for you. If you'd like to put your name forward for Meet the Listener, we'd be delighted to have you. Just email ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com and instructions for taking part, don't worry, they're very simple, will be winging their way to you. And now it's time for some thank yous. Kit, Jennifer and Maria all became legends in the last few days. And I received two excellent reviews, one from Argo Lub in the US and Debs W in the UK. You have no idea how much these things lift my spirits, so thank you to you all.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
It's time to visit another houseplant studio, and this one, well, let's just say I wish my office looked as good as this.
Hi, I'm Kirsty. I'm a team member at the Plant Workshop.
And I'm David. I'm the owner of the Plant Workshop.
Here we are in this wonderful work from home office. I wish my office looked like this. Maybe not with the moss under the keyboard. That's the only thing I'm not on board with. It's a beautiful space. Tell me about what the concept was.
So the concept was a work from home space. We started our business a couple of years ago in lockdown. Lots of people were working from home and trying to really appreciate what they had at home. And we were delivering plants around the northeast of England and North Yorkshire. So we decided to really go back home, bring everything back to basics with lots of, you know, easy care plants, which are, you know, great for wellness, but accessible for everybody, really, who, regardless of their space or budget, would be able to benefit from.
Yeah, so it works in terms of boosting energy, boosting productivity, making you feel good, but also having an option to have an easy care plant if you don't have as much time to care for one with your busy schedule.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I think lots of people have acquired lots of houseplants during lockdown, and we need to get ones that aren't going to demand too much of us. And you've got lots of things here that are really, really easy. What would you say is one of your all-time favourite put it in the corner and don't worry too much about it plants? Any tips?
Tips. Well, we've got the very well-known Sansevieria, or snake plant, which is fantastic for very low, sort of low light up to some bright light. That one you can put in a corner, forget about. You don't need to water it that often. They are really easy care. Yeah.
I'm loving, though. I know this isn't quite so easy, but this lovely crocodile fern next door, that's enormous.
It is enormous. So this is actually a semi-hydro as well, so it makes it a little bit easier to care for because it has a gauge telling you when it needs water.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, it is easier than if you just had it.
I love that. I love a gauge. Yeah. I love a gauge.
It makes life so much easier.
Easy, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so your business started during lockdown. That must have been a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was difficult. It was never planned that way. So, you know, we had a shop that was going to open and then we couldn't open it. We couldn't get any building supplies and things. So we ended up with lots of brown bags, and we had a summer house in the garden, and we sort of started to sell our products online through, you know, social media. And we just had that huge amount of support from lots of customers. It was quite a ride.
Yeah, I can imagine. And now things have settled down. How has that changed now that we get back to
to new normal.
I think lots of people now are buying more plants to green up their, you know, their space, because of everything that we've talked about, that wellness aspect, you know, the cleaner air. And I think a lot of the customers are really passionate for those smaller businesses. I think that's really, really important. They're probably shopping less in those bigger outlets, and coming to more specialist people who really know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's the reason to go to a specialist plant shop, is for that personal touch. Yeah. And do you have customers who have just been becoming frequent flyers, as it were? I bet you've got some customers who just keep coming back for more.
Yeah, we definitely do. It's great to see people coming back, and we also try and get different plants in. We change up what we have, and yeah, get new stuff in.
I have to say, I'm loving the Hoyolinearis, curtain of Hoyolinearis that you've got here. I mean, it's slightly reminding me, and I hope you don't take this as an insult, because it really isn't one, but it's slightly reminding me of a page in my Bible, the Dr. Hesseon Houseplant Expert, where he recommends like using plants as a room divider. And it is like, it's just so, it looks so good, because you've got these five pots all cascading down. I mean, that Hoyolinearis is ridiculously long.
It's so long.
Yeah, it's
so
actually long. Pooled on the floor there. That's amazing.
Yeah. Like 2.5 metres long.
Wow, okay. I'm now feeling very inadequate for my Hoyolinearis, which is a mere metre and a half. Very impressive.
It really softens the space, though, doesn't it?
It does.
It overlaps it over the window, so it gives you that extra shade.
And when you're talking about an easy care plant, I think that is a very easy. Once you absolutely know what it wants, it's
absolutely
really easy.
Yeah.
We had the conversation earlier today, actually, about Hoyas, that, you know, they don't get as much press as what we had hoped, really. And Hoyas are so easy care.
Yeah,
we should definitely champion Hoyas.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've done several episodes, so I am definitely a Hoya champion, for sure.
Good.
And you put this together in quite a short amount of time, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think you had, what was it, two weeks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
Stressful.
It's been very hectic. We were the latecomers, but we obviously had to jump at the opportunity to come and exhibit at Chelsea. But yeah, we work really well as a team. We are very much on the same wavelength, so we were able to bring our ideas together and come up with this.
Well, another one of my absolute favourite things is this lovely fisheye mirror. Loving
fish
that.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, there's something about it that's just setting off the rest of the room really brilliantly. So I'm going to take lots of pictures and use them in my show notes, so hopefully people will be looking at that as they hear this. And it's incredible what you've created in such a short frame of time.
Yeah, thank you.
So well done.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
As you know, if you've listened to my Chelsea coverage before, the show on press day is packed not only with journalists but with celebrities. Now, I'm not generally a big follower of many celebrities. I did see Dame Judi Dench at the show, which was an honour because I think she's a fantastic actress. But most of the time, I'm not really sure who anybody is. But this was the very first time that an interview for On The Ledge has been sort of gatecrashed by a celebrity. It's towards the end of the interview and you don't get to hear who it is, but I'll reveal all afterwards. And that explains why we go a little bit off track at the end as I chat about the Botanical Rhapsody Houseplant Studio.
Hi, I'm Matt Gilchrist and I'm the creative director of the Edible Bus Stop.
Well, in the background we've got this beautiful music. Now, this isn't just lift music, this is a significant form of music. Can you tell us what's going on here, Matt?
Well, essentially what we're utilising a process which is known as biosonification, which is a technology whereby you can read the tiny micro fluctuations in a plant by attaching these electrodes to the leaves, and what you're hearing right now is the music of three plants.
That's blowing my mind.
It really is. That's why I always leave a little bit of a gap there.
Yes, that is amazing. I mean, and presumably reaching out and touching one of these leaves, would that elicit a response from the plant?
Absolutely. It depends on how they're feeling, by the way, because just anything living has its moments. It's more reactive, it's feeling calm, or it's feeling stressed. So if I touch it now, let's see what happens.
It's going a little bit more high-pitched there. It's changing slightly, yeah. this beautiful, I suppose we've probably got to call it Gepertia now, although everyone knows it as Calathea, velvety leaves, which are very tactile anyway.
Well, that's the idea, is also we wanted to people to feel free to touch the plants. Mm-hmm. And so that's the aim here. And as, while you're doing this, really this installation is all about how nature is constantly interacting with us and how we're all connected. And so plants react to their environment on a constant basis in real time. By utilising biosonification, we can actually reveal the otherwise hidden communications that are going on, the otherwise inaudible communications that are going on, and how actually by sort of piercing that veil of perception, you can enter into a plant world and understand that actually everything we do as humans, they're affected by, and they're responding to us. And so that sort of biophilic quality of how they're making us feel calmer, reducing our cortisol, you know, all of those things that they do for us, hopefully here you can access that by having this audible reaction that's going on around you.
It's absolutely lovely. It's bringing to life something that we know is there. We kind of know that plants are reacting to their environment, but actually being able to hear it is really quite powerful. We know plants are sending out messages, and now we can hear the messages, which is really cool. And I guess, you know, it's teaching people to really observe and look at their plants, because they are trying to communicate with us all the time.
Yes.
Amazing.
And it's they're also communicating to our subconscious selves. So this is how, as I mentioned before, with, you know, biophilia, it's now being shown it doesn't just help your mental health and your emotional health. They have a physical effect on us. They lower our blood pressure. They help you heal quicker after an operation if you're around plants. They help you concentrate. So there's all sorts of levels that plants are working. And they're cleaning our air. I mean, really, what they're doing for us is extraordinary, and they don't ask for much in return, just us to stop killing them with pollution, etc.
Yeah, so true. I'm just loving the way this is displayed. It's a very beautiful display of houseplants. I think that one of my favourites is, I think that's an Escalanthus in this beautiful brass hanger, spotlighted. It looks like it's, I don't know, it looks like it's very mysterious, something very mysterious on the top that draws you in looking at that. I can't quite explain why.
I'm really glad you say that, and that's one of the reasons why we've chosen this totally black walls and ceiling, is that we wanted the plants to really pop out. Mm. And when you spotlight them like that, you can really see their form and their elegance. And yes, it's quite fabulous. It looks like it's having a good time, doesn't
it?
It knows it's having its moment.
In the spotlight, And I'm also glad that you've put sensors on this beautiful Calathea orbifolia. Let's admit it, that it's one of the harder houseplants to keep alive. But maybe if you had this set up, you'd be more aware of when things were going wrong, because it's an absolutely gorgeous plant with these huge, huge striped leaves. And it's such a star of the show. We're just having a little feel of these Calathea orbifolia leaves, and it is changing the music. Could you have this set so that you were playing different instruments? Have you chosen the instruments?
Absolutely, yes.
Yourself?
No, our sound artist has chosen the instruments. So the way he talks about it is like, essentially, what the computer will pick up with these micro fluctuations, he then applies notes to, and then he describes it. I give the plant fingers to hit a keyboard with.
I
love that idea. It's because it's actually quite difficult to explain. You can get quite techie about it. But really, we're just giving the plants the tools to be able to talk to us and sing to us in this particular case.
So
yes, you could make them sound like banjos.
I was going to say, electric guitars, the world is your oyster. You could have any kind of sound coming up here. Well, it's a really dramatic display, and I really hope that people come in here and sample it out. And as you say, nice to be able to be given an invitation to touch leaves, because I'm often feeling like a little bit naughty for touching leaves of plants when I'm going round and giving them a bit of a stroke, because I think that's part of the enjoyment and the biophilia, is actually being able to touch and experience different leaf textures. I think is really powerful, for me anyway, is a really powerful thing. So it's lovely in here, and just slightly I have to say, I just this huge Maranta lemon lime here on a stand is blowing me away because it's enormous. I've never seen one that big. I love that plant. That's a that's my star in terms of plants in here. But you've got a lovely selection of plants and beautifully potted as well. I don't know where your pots are from, but
various wonderful pot suppliers. But we've gone for quite a lot of Scandinavian. Mm. So as you can tell with our screen here at the back, which is to look like a shoji screen, a Japanese shoji screen.
Yeah.
Which is lit with LED dynamic lighting, so that lighting changes colour and intensity throughout the day to mimic the sun, to key in with your circadian rhythm, to actually keep you... It's another element in the studio to help people calm and feel at ease. But what happens eventually is that the plants have now, because these lights, by the way, are all grow lights. Yeah. So the plants have, since they have been in here, you'll see here with the system, that it started to grow. They're responding straight away.
Awesome. Well, it's absolutely stunning, and I feel like I just want to keep touching leaves. It's fine. Yeah, you can just have a leaf stroke. Why not?
Put my hand buzzing.
Yeah. There you go. It's powerful stuff. Well, thank you very much for showing
me
around.
And again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just want to just hang out in here and enjoy the beautiful music.
Thanks a lot for coming.
So the person who came in during that interview and started stroking a Calathea leaf was Woody Cook. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he is the son of Zoe Ball and Norman Cook, grandson of the legend that is Johnny Ball. If you still don't know who I'm talking about, have a Google. But anyway, it put me off my stride a bit, but he was basically doing some DJing for the press call, accompanied by the music of the plants. And so he came in to have a little look around. So hence the interview drew to a close. I should have, I guess, just shoved the microphone in his face and asked him some questions, but I wasn't that good of a reporter at that point. And you know me, I'm kind of more interested in the plants. And now the final studio actually won the Best Houseplant Studio category. And if you were looking for somewhere fun to hang out at Chelsea, I think this studio definitely won out.
Hi, I'm James Whiting, or Plants By There on Instagram. And I'm a houseplant fanatic and stylist. And I've designed Planet Studio for Malvern Garden Buildings at this year's Chelsea Flower Show.
I've just been totally distracted, James, by the rotating pilea on the floor, which I absolutely love. The fact that you've got this on a little turntable going round. I mean, that's an underrated plant, but I mean, I don't know where to start with this because this is the visual treat for the eyes. Tell me about the concept.
So it's basically aimed at people who might have a garden room, who miss the nightlife but don't want to travel into the city for a night out, so they invite all their friends to their garden to experience a Studio 54 inspired bar and club space. And it's a mix of kind of like retro futuristic decor and 70s vibes, you know, like kind of all those retro house plants we love, spider plants and chef lyras, mixed with kind of unusual, you know, alien-looking specimens.
This is so cool. I love the orange theme. You've got this amazing ceramic selection behind the bar, lit up by mirrors, which is just so clever. But we've got to talk about the fungi in the room. Tell me about the shelf full of mushrooms.
Yes, so the oyster mushrooms are grown by the Cayley brothers, and I actually met them at last year's Chelsea show. They were on the RHS garden with Arit, and they were drawn to our display last year with our pink macrame and our neon lights, and just kind of said they found their people. So we really wanted to work together, and oyster mushrooms are kind of one of those things that are so beautiful, but people are a bit afraid of them or don't know how to grow them, and they're edible as well. So it's that things that are beautiful that also have a use in your home. I think people are kind of paying a lot more attention to mushrooms. They're just fascinating.
They are totally fascinating. And you just pointed out to me that in the beam of the spotlight, we can actually see a load of spores being released by these mushrooms, which is pretty awesome. I've just realised that there's a rotating snake plant as well. That's also giving me life.
Sansevieria is the, you know, on the podium dancing. It's that classic 70s house plant everyone knows and loves or sometimes hates. It depends on your view on them.
I love.
Yeah, you know, you have to, you know, illuminated by some lava-style projections, and it's just all about energy and life. And, you know, Studio 54 is a real mix of people. It was so diverse, and the fashion and the, you know, people from all walks of life could be there, and I just wanted to kind of do that with houseplants, you know, a really diverse range of houseplants.
Yeah, I think you're right that there's a lot of houseplants that perhaps are so common or so kind of been around for so long that we don't really rate them, among them being of course the snake plant. And you've got some lovely Tradescantia there as well, and just putting a Tradescantia in a really interesting bright orange vase shaped pot just takes it to a different place, doesn't
it? And you know, all the pots have been handmade by Adam Johnson, who was on the Great Pottery Throwdown during the first lockdown. So that's how we connected through Instagram. It's been a lot of Instagram kind of conversations going on with my collaborators on this. And he made every single plant pot in the building, inside and out, all by hand. And so, yeah, it's been a real operation to get it all to come together for Chelsea. But it just shows that you can take a staple houseplant that may be overlooked and give it a new lease of life and just show it off in a different way. And it's all about pairing plants with the right containers and the right vessels to enhance them, you know, to show off their beauty.
What's your, is there a favourite of yours here in this studio? Can you pick a favourite child?
So, so difficult.
I mean, is this a large Kentia palm behind
me? Yes, I think.
That's pretty cool as well.
So, you know, Kew Gardens Palm House was one of the first places I visited when I moved to London. And it was always one of those places I'd seen on TV and I wanted to get in there. And palms are just, you know, a staple. They are, you know, Kentia palms, you do see them everywhere. But they do, there's hard-working plants in your home. Mm. They're very easy to look after. They can put up with a lot of neglect, which is, you know, what most people want, I think. We live busy lives. I'm terrible for getting to water things. So, yeah, and it's just, they're elegant. You know, it creates height and gives you this canopy and you can immerse yourself under a Kentia palm and escape a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. There is, it's a very luxurious plant, I think, when you look at it. Well, I love this whole vibe. I'm thinking this is the fun, lively kind of vibe that we need right now.
Yes, completely. You know, I was a COVID lockdown Zoom partier, and I would have disco lights and disco balls in all of my Zoom parties with my friends, and it became a running theme. So this is now how my home looks. If there's always a neon light on, there's always a disco ball hanging somewhere amongst my collection of plants. I think it's just, it's more fun.
And I think the thing is, people may sort of be dismissive of the idea of like having a Zoom backdrop that you curate, but actually when so much of our lives is done on Zoom, even now, actually why the heck not be creative?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, who wants to sit in a 2-hour long Zoom meeting looking at somebody's grey wall? Not me.
No, so, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. No, I think it's beautiful. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled that this has come together so beautifully, and well done. I mean, who knew that bright orange would just be so amazing? I just love the way that you brought the colour scheme together in here. Obviously, this is a Chelsea show exhibit, but there's so much in here that you could, if you did have a garden studio, that you could try out at home.
Exactly, and that, you know, was the main aim for me. I don't have a garden. I garden indoors and on a very, very small balcony. So it's all about where I can fit more plants. So I integrate them into my furniture. They're, you know, they're inside the bar, they're inside cupboards, and using grow lights to facilitate that. And that's a really inexpensive thing to do now. It's so much more accessible. And I hope that people just take, you know, a little piece of Planet Studio and, you know, think, yeah, I'm going to turn that sink in that spare bathroom I don't use into a pond, or I'm going to do something, you know, strange in my kitchen in, you know, some spare glass cabinets that normally just have glasses in. You know, it's being a bit more creative with the space you're living in.
Well, I'm loving the vibe. Well done,
thank
James.
You very much,
and
Jane.
Have a great rest of the week at the show. Now, if the idea of seeing a
basket containing orange and thurium flowers rotating next to shelves full of very strange pots with very strange mushrooms in them. Doesn't get you scurrying to the show notes, I don't know what will. Thanks to all my interviewees this week and everyone who chatted to me at the Chelsea Flower Show. It was a really lovely day and I enjoyed every minute of it. I'll be back next Friday with another episode. So if you're not subscribed, click the subscribe button now to make sure On the Ledge keeps coming at you every Friday. I hope your week is full of greenery, dirt under your fingernails, and kindness and compassion. Bye. The music you heard in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, The Road We Used to Travel When We Were Young by Komiku, Chiefs by Jazar, and Plantation by Jason Shaw. All tracks are licensed under Creative Commons. Visit the show notes for details.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.